You're listening to Pushing the Odds on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the CG Sportsbook inside the Palms Casino Resort in Las Vegas, powered by O'Reilly Auto Parts, here's your host, Matt Perrault.
It is Pushing the Odds. SB Nation Radio. Let's talk some football. So, a bunch of things to get into, a lot of interesting things to pop around with. Let's get to Adam Stites from SB Nation on the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Hotline. Adam, Matt Perrault, how are you?
I'm doing well. How about you?
I'm great. Thanks for the time. Let's start with New York and Odell Beckham Jr. I can't remember an interview airing mid-season with a star athlete next to a star rapper where the star athlete, who is a receiver, decides to call out teammates and his quarterback before his team plays a game on the road against anybody. This time it would be Carolina. And I know it was a 31-point performance. I know Beckham played well, had a touchdown toss, touchdown catch. Barkley looked good, but they lose it on a record kick, 63-yarder for Graham Gano. But what do you make of the Giants' locker room going forward? Pat Shurmur saying there's nothing to this, the team handled it, but is it over?
If they keep losing, it's not. When you're 1-4, that it's only going to make things worse. They had a good day offensively, so that probably dulls it a little bit. But, you know, if you keep losing, it's only going to ramp up that aggravation even more, the frustration even more. If he has another game where he, you know, only has 50 or 60 receiving yards, I don't think it's done right now at all.
What happens, I mean, from a Giant perspective, what do you do about this where you have your guy who just signed a lengthy extension, a massive deal, and he's out there calling out your first-year head coach. He's calling out your veteran quarterback. He's questioning play calling. He's questioning how the offense is being called, where the ball is going. What do you do? What's the appropriate punishment? Is it just let the locker room dictate it, or is there something the Giants should do to Beckham?
Yeah, I think the question is, how does the locker room feel about it? If they're split and there's, you know, it feels like there's some animosity, then maybe there's some action to be taken. But the Giants kind of made their bed when they handed him that contract. It's not like this is out of thin air. Odell's been a player who has been willing to speak his mind, has a big personality, and that's what you paid for when you gave him $90 million. So he's a more of a part of the future of the team than Eli Manning is. They have to be aware at this point that Eli's down to maybe his last year, if not next year is his last year. I can't imagine there's too much left in the tank there. So they have to make peace with Odell. They can't start a war with him and stoke those flames when they know that their future offensively is Odell Beckham Jr. and Saquon Barkley.
They have a game on Thursday night against the Philadelphia Eagles, who are coming off of a loss themselves. How big is this game on Thursday night? Is it the Giants' season?
You'd have to say, I think that's fair to say, especially considering the NFC East is so up in the air that if you hand the Eagles that win, you drop to 1-5. And you lose a divisional matchup. I think that's probably the stake in the rest of the year. I was surprised. I thought the Giants were going to be a surprise team this year, but they still could be. You know, if you get to 2-4, there is no real contender in that NFC East that's running away. There's no Rams. There's no Chiefs. There's no there's no team that has jumped out to a big lead. It's still manageable. But 1-5, and you let the Eagles jump ahead, I don't know that you can climb out of that hole.
That's interesting. All right, let's get to the other games. Seattle played really hard at home. They end up losing somewhat of a heartbreaker to the Rams. But how impressed are you that the Rams are able to keep this going, even in hostile environments, even when things aren't going exactly as planned, they're still winning?
Yeah, they have just so many different ways to win. That defense has definitely not been maybe as dominant as we thought it was going to be. They've been giving up big chunks on the ground. The corners have struggled a little bit against the pass. They lost to Keeb Talib, but they still have so many ways to make plays. The defense is still one that's going to make quarterbacks uncomfortable. Marcus Peters still finds a way to get to the ball. And then offensively, they can just score in such bunches that you almost have to win a shootout against them. And, you know, when you try to drag into a shootout against a team with that many weapons, it's just usually not going to go well. Yeah, I mean, like you said, a hostile environment in Seattle, I think it was a 7.5-point spread, which I thought was, you know, way too much. Those NFC West games seem to always come down to the wire. So, yeah, it was an impressive win. And, you know, they got two more road games coming up. And that's just a really, really difficult team to beat. You have to be on your game.
You know, Adam, I made the prediction that we would know a lot more about the Chiefs following the game against Jacksonville. And I got to admit, I was very impressed with what the Chiefs looked like, even defensively. I know Blake Bortles is a disaster at the quarterback spot. I mean, when you're throwing interceptions by bouncing footballs off of your own offensive lineman, you know, things aren't going well for Blake Bortles. But injuries are mounting for Jacksonville right now. They lost another tight end today. You know, it's October, and numerous starters have missed time or have been placed on IR right now by the Jags. Where are they right now, and where do you see their season going?
Well, I think their season goes as far as Blake Bortles takes them. You know, if Blake Bortles plays a good game yesterday, I think they win pretty smoothly. The defense, you know, it didn't do great against Mahomes. They struggled to get off the field, but at the end of the day, Mahomes didn't throw any passing touchdowns. He had two interceptions, and they kept them out of the end zone for most of the day. They gave up one rushing touchdown early and one late. I thought it was a pretty decent day for the Jaguars defense. The offense just was a disaster. I mean, the pick six gifted one of those touchdowns, and Blake Bortles threw, you know, three more, and then he had a fumble too. So if he plays well, they're an unstoppable team almost. That defense is just too good, and then when the offense is scoring, I mean, good luck trying to keep up. It's just so random from week to week. There's really just no indicator what Blake Bortles you're going to get. Last week he looked fantastic against the Patriots. He looked fantastic, but then, you know, they have those random games.
I'm impressed with Kansas City. They've got a massive test coming up against the Patriots this coming weekend. I think this is for home field in the AFC playoffs. I think the Patriots have kind of figured things out a little bit. I think they're going to have an opportunity to be right there. But Kansas City, if they're able to beat the Patriots like they did last year, how much of this is this going to be a statement night for Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs to say that we're the new kid in town, this is our conference, not the Patriots'?
Yeah, I think it's a really interesting, especially because I think that the Chiefs have done a really good job of dragging every team they've played into their game. Maybe the only exception is the Broncos. The Broncos were the only team that didn't give up a touchdown early and was playing catch-up all game. I think that's what the Chiefs have really done well, is that they jump out early, they don't make mistakes, and then they just force teams to throw the ball, you know, 60 times to try and keep up. And once you're in a shootout, the Chiefs have just been able to win those games. I mean, the Steelers threw 60 times against them. Blake Bortles threw 61 times yesterday, and they ran the ball, I think, 14 times all game. I don't think you can do that against the Patriots. The Patriots are a little too calm and collected to just turn into a panic shootout game. So are the Chiefs going to be able to win if, you know, it's more of a grind out kind of game? That's what I'm curious to see. If the Patriots can, you know, hang in there and just run the ball and drag it into a late game where Mahomes has to come up big on the road late. It's a huge test. I can't wait to see it.
We were talking about the game on Thursday night from a Giants perspective. But what about from an Eagles perspective? The Vikings played really, really well. I was impressed with the bounce back from Minnesota after a couple of rough weeks. And now you get the Vikings getting a win against the Eagles. The Eagles go on the road after losing at home. They go on the road to take on the Giants. Carson Wentz, you don't think there's actual real thought inside that building about benching Carson Wentz to go back to Nick Foles, do you?
I can't imagine there is. You know, maybe if Nick Foles had come out and thrown four touchdowns in his two starts, but maybe there would be more to that, but he just really looked bad. And for as average as Carson Wentz has looked so far, he's still been better than Foles was. I've been surprised by the Eagles. They seem like a very just middle-of-the-pack team in every facet. There just doesn't seem to be a whole lot special about that team, and maybe they get better as Carson Wentz continues to recover and they find more of a, you know, a groove. They did have a tough schedule early. You know, the Falcons were a lot more healthy when they played them in week one. The Titans aren't a joke defensively, and neither are the Vikings. So they'll have a couple more easy matchups ahead where they can kind of recover, beginning with the Giants on Thursday. But, yeah, they've just been kind of an average team so far.
Yeah, I mean, I thought they were kind of an average team last year, and then they got psychotically hot, and they ran through people. So I think that they're kind of going back to the to what they were. But if you're Atlanta right now, I mean, is this game against Tampa Bay on Sunday? We mentioned, you know, other teams. Is it your season? Is this game against Tampa their season after they lose another game and lose to the Steelers in pretty embarrassing fashion?
I think you could argue that their season was this week against the Steelers. You know, I thought when you're looking at 2-1-3 teams, or Steelers were 1-2-1, but it was 2-1-win teams playing each other. I mean, that seemed like a pretty must win, and they got just torched. I don't know that defense can really hang with anybody now. They lost Keanu Neal. They lost Deion Jones. You know, Ricardo Allen. There's just so many of the young speed players on defense are gone now, and there's no way to replace them. You can't find another person who's going to get in there. And, you know, the Buccaneers bring a whole lot of speed. So I would be surprised at this point if Atlanta is able to climb back in. Now, the offense is still so good that, you know, I thought they would be able to hang, especially with considering the way the Steelers look. But
right.
I don't see it at this point.
All right, get you out of here on this, Adam. Tonight, interesting night. Redskins on the road at New Orleans Saints. A lot of people like Washington plus the points, and maybe even Washington outright tonight against the Saints. How do you think Monday Night Football goes tonight?
Yeah, I thought that was a pretty big spread. I think it was like 6 points or something like that.
Seven.
That's a lot of points for. Yeah, Washington's looked really good. They've allowed the fewest points in the NFL through the lowest scoring average. They had a bye last week, so yeah, the lowest points isn't that surprising. But you know, they faced some pretty weak offenses so far, but they've looked good, and Alex Smith has looked good. So I think they're getting slept on a little bit. I think this is a big test to find out where they're at. But I think it's a close game. I do think Washington has a good shot at pulling it out.
Very cool. Adam, thanks for the time today. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Adam Stitzy, SB Nation, covering the NFL, joining us on the Rockin' Mortgage by Quicket Loans Hotline. Next, Red Sox-Yankees Game 3. Let's dip our toe into it here. The Red Sox, man, the bullpen has pitched decent. It's been decent. I know they gave him a couple of home runs, but considering what we thought we were going to see, it's all been David Price. David Price was horrific, as bad as feared in Game 2. We'll preview Game 3 tonight. Red Sox-Yankees next. Pushing the Odds, SB Nation Radio.